I've been a Christian for about 13 years now. I just turned 30. Over the last couple, 2 or 3 years, I've had some circumstances happen in my relationship with God where I really don't know Him anymore. I've lost hope as far as if He does answer prayer.
Have you ever lost hope that God is answering your prayers? We'll hear more from this caller later on in the broadcast. But first, June Hunt provides biblical principles and practical insight into decision-making and discerning the will of God. And what a relevant time to talk about important decisions, as so many people are experiencing change in their lives right now. Before we get started, I want to let you know that this phone conversation you'll listen to was previously recorded. Now, here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
The don'ts of decision-making. These are very important. Number one, don't wait till all else fails before seeking God's will. That is so typical. It's like when all else fails, pray. Well, instead, 1 Kings 22:5 says, first seek the counsel of the Lord. First seek the counsel of the Lord. You can't go wrong in that way. Everyone is not called to be a counselor, a professional counselor or a lay counselor, but we all need to seek the counsel of the Lord. And that's what we are here to do. Number two, don't seek the plan, but rather the person who reveals the plan. And that means the Lord Himself. Don't seek the plan. You know, so many people, oh, what's God's will? What's God's will? And they're just constantly, what am I supposed to do? As opposed to just saying, Lord, I am yours. I just want to have the closest relationship I can have with you. I yield my will to your will. If you're doing that, He will reveal His plan. Isaiah 48:17 says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Third, don't pray for permission regarding something God has already forbidden. Psalm 119 says, I've taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. It will be an exercise in futility if you try to justify something that God has already forbidden. That is, unfortunately, way too common, but it just doesn't work. The fourth, don't make decisions based on feelings. Why? Because Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Does that mean God can't use your feelings? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you don't base the whole decision on how you feel, because feelings go up and down. It is not uncommon to talk with someone who's been married for several years, and all of a sudden, it's like there's not a feeling. The warm, fuzzy feeling they had is not there. Not that it's not going to return. I'm not talking about marital problems. I'm just saying feelings are mercurial. They go up and down. It's commitment that holds. It's the covenant marriage vow that holds. So don't base your decisions all based on feelings. Don't assume that God's will is too difficult for you to do. 1 John 5 says, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Don't have divided loyalty or allow money to dictate your decision. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. Jesus is clear about that. Don't test God by seeking visible signs. We're told to not put God to the test. Let me, and that's Luke 4:12. Understand, in general, seeking supernatural signs are generally condemned. Realize, again, these supernatural signs should be supernatural, and they must never contradict the clear-cut teaching of God's word, because some people, they look for signs because they're looking for a way to not obey the word of God, and they're wanting themselves to be an exception. They want to be an exception. Well, you're not going to be an exception to the law of God. They want to have control. That's not giving God control at all. You see people who want, well, even the Pharisees and teachers of the law, teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And Jesus said in verse 39, this is Matthew 12, 39, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign. I'm going to repeat that. Here, the Pharisees and teachers of the law said, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. What does Jesus answer? A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign. See, the issue isn't signs. The issue is the relationship with Him yielded to Him, yielded to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't seek the sign. You can seek the giver of the one who's capable of doing any sign. Don't think trials and adversity indicate you are out of God's will. In fact, this is some teaching. If you're going through this trial, then there's sin in your life. My gracious, look at the book of Job. What's that all about? Look at the book of 1 Peter. Both of those books, the theme is suffering. And it says we are called to suffer. There are those who skew, either they've been taught this or they don't know what the Word of God is really teaching. Yes, you will go through suffering, but it's going to stretch your capacity for compassion. God will use that pain in your life, and it will be something that you will be amazed at to see how He will continue to sensitize your heart. I want to cover one last point, and that is when time has run out and you still don't know what to do, what do you do? Well, first of all, I'd say wait, wait, wait. But then let's say it is 11:59 on the clock and you have to make a decision by 12 midnight. What do you do? This is how I phrase this. If you have to make a decision and you've prayed for God's choice, not your choice, you want His choice, then you say to Him, Lord, because You know everything, You know the decision before me and the way I should go. I want only Your will. Since I no longer have the option of waiting, I will choose, and then you pick. If it's one of two, if it's one of ten, you pick one of the options. You say, I will choose this. If this decision is not right in Your sight, I ask Your Spirit in me to put a heaviness in my heart. If this is the right decision, please confirm it with Your peace. I am willing to take whatever detours You decide to put in my path, as long as I reach the destination You have for me. I trust You with my life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you see? There are times when you do have to choose something. But what I do at that point, I do pray for a heaviness if this is not the right decision. I pray for anything that He would want to use to communicate to me what is in His will.
In case you just joined us, this is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt, talking about the don'ts of decision-making. Coming up is a real-life situation where these don'ts can be put into place. For more about decision-making, including a free download, go to our website, hopefortheheart.org. Today's broadcast was recorded in front of a live audience, and now we're going to hear a pre-recorded phone conversation that June played for them. Listen for some of the don'ts that June just went over and how hard it can be to let go of our will in favor of God's will.
I've been a Christian for about 13 years now. I just turned 30. Over the last couple, 2 or 3 years, I've had some circumstances happen in my relationship with God where I really don't know Him anymore. I've lost hope as far as if He does answer prayer. Mm-hmm. This is regarding a promise that I felt like God had given me about a relationship.
Give me the specific of it.
Okay. Well, it was a relationship with a man that I fell in love with. I'd been in a lot of other relationships. I'd never, ever been in love before. When the relationship ended, I really felt like God said, let him go, and so I did. He was not a Christian, then it was a very, very painful thing for me.
So you broke up with him?
It was more mutual, probably more on his side, but yeah, I was the one that basically said, this needs to end. I need to let you go.
Were you sexually involved with him?
Yeah, I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was a virgin until I was 24. I wanted to be married first before I ever let that happen. I was, of course, heartbroken over all of this, and I was so afraid to even pray and just really tell God my heart.
Even though he knew it.
Even though he knew it, mm-hmm. but I was so afraid, and I felt like Jesus just kept saying, just ask, just ask, just ask. And I was like, no, I'm so afraid to ask.
But what was the promise that Esau made to you?
It was one night, and I was reading the Word, and I came across a lot of scriptures which said, if you ask, you will receive. Mm-hmm. But I was still so afraid to ask, and my faith just wasn't really there.
Okay, and what did you ask?
I came across the scripture about Bartimaeus, the blind man.
Yes.
And I was struck by the fact that Jesus said, what is it that you want? The blind man said, well, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, it is done. When I came across that, I was like, okay, why did Jesus even ask the blind man that? Obviously, he's God, and he knew that the blind man wanted to see. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, what is it that you want? Just tell me. And I was like, no, Lord, I don't want to even say it because I'm afraid. So I finally did. I said, okay, this is what I want. I want this relationship. I want him to be a godly man, to become a Christian, for us to have your blessing to be married, for us to be married, and for us to have a godly marriage. Mm-hmm. That is what I want. It's not just one thing. Mm-hmm. It's the whole shebang. And then when I looked down into scripture, it said, all right, it's done. And I had such an incredible peace about everything. And I was like, wow, God said, all right, it's done. So I know it's done. And I was excited. And then a week later, I went to Bible study, and the Bible study leader, all he talked about was, if you ask, you will receive. And it was all about ask, ask, ask. And then I had a newsletter all about how God answers prayer. And everything over the next few months was all about how God answers prayer, and if you ask and ask. But that still wasn't good enough for me. I was like, you know, Lord, I need confirmation. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know. Did you get the confirmation?
Well, I prayed again, and I said, Lord, I just need to know. Did I really, really hear from you, or was this me wanting it or me thinking it up in my head? And I felt like God said, go into your closet, take your Bible, and expect a great thing. And I thought to myself, okay, was that me saying that, or was that really God saying that?
Now, first of all, is she in a position to be asking for this relationship to be the one? I'm seeing heads going, no, no, why not? Yeah, she's presenting herself as a Christian, and he is not. And that right there, that would mean that they would be unequally yoked, so the whole foundation is off. There is no foundation. Everything's about ask, ask, ask. Ask and you shall receive. Well, how many of you here want $100,000? Raise your hand. Just ask. There's misinformation, misunderstanding about, what do you mean, ask? How many of you have ever done a jigsaw puzzle? Raise your hands. Okay. Do you get what the picture is based on one piece?
No.
It requires what? Doing the whole puzzle. So the ideal is to get all the scriptures that have to do with prayer, because that's what she's saying. She was praying, 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 praying. Well, hello, 1 John, write this down, 1 John 5:14. This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about the will of God. We're talking about decision making. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. The whole point is, this is prefaced. This is prefaced by, in essence, what Jesus gave us, that he did, what he modeled. He said, not my will, but thine be done. But she said that in the first few sentences, she thought she had a promise from God. Well, you can ask, but just because you ask doesn't mean you get. Because it says, it's got to be according to his will. We'll continue on with the call.
So I went in there, I opened up the Bible, and I didn't even look at anything, and I just said, you know what, God, I want to know if this is really from you. I just want to know. I want this to be done with.
And what happened when you prayed that?
When I prayed that, I looked up into the sky, and I'd already opened up my Bible, but I never even looked down at all.
What did you see?
What did I see? Mm-hmm. I looked down, and what I had turned to landed in Samuel, and the very top verse was 1 Samuel 1:20. The Lord remembered her petition in the process of time, for she asked the Lord for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said, and she named him Samuel, meaning asked of God. Well, I was blown away because it was just so specific, and it was nothing that I looked for or tried to find or anything. I didn't even know that that was even there.
You know, that method of putting the finger in? You understand, still, he's not even a Christian. That's not the basis. She's just wanting it. She's going to look for whatever she can to see the stars coming together in line. You know, she wants the star to shine on her. She's too desperate.
A lot of people have done that. They'll say, I just want to hear from you, God. And so they'll open the Bible and they'll just point their finger somewhere.
But see, that was the thing, was mm-hmm. I didn't open the Bible and point my finger somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I got my Bible and I put it on my lap.
But that doesn't matter. It's still the general principle. They're wanting for God to confirm something right then and there. Now, the problem is God has already spoken specifically about what you have talked about in his word. Not that you can know the future, mm-hmm. but you can know what to do in regard to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I did ask about you being sexually involved is because that skews objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there is that kind of bonding.
And the sex thing, that really wasn't that big of a deal
for me. But it does affect you emotionally.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you on that. I know it does.
And so it
yeah.
increases a desire for that intimacy, even if that person is not the right person ultimately.
Right.
You stated at the beginning, you know, I feel like I've lost hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like God didn't come through.
Right.
So you're dealing with a sinful situation where now your objectivity is skewed because you have passion preempting what God did reserve for marriage. When you look at prayer, it isn't just you pray and then you look down and see, oh, here's this scripture, or read something that somebody talks about. You get together what God has said in all the verses that God has shared with us in regard to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The issue isn't just asking anything. It's got to be based on what is God's will. The scripture tells you if we ask anything according to his will.
Right, and what I had asked for was that he would become a Christian, that he would be a godly man, mm-hmm. that God would bring us together, and that we would have the Lord's mm-hmm. blessing, and that we would be married.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I prayed for.
So you did pray for God's will?
I sure did.
Okay, then you leave it there. Meaning, what did Jesus do? He prayed 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any way, let this cup pass from me.
Mm-hmm.
Was his prayer answered the way he wanted it to be?
No, I mean,
not answered.
Right.
Yet he came back and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, that needs to be the model for us.
The reason why I called is because there's a huge boulder in the road of my faith life now. Honestly, there's anger there, believing that God had given me a promise.
That's
God
what
had
you
brought
believed.
In.
It has to be based on praying for the will of God.
And that's why I'm just so confused, because other people are like, you know what, you heard from the Lord. The Lord revealed that truth to you, and that was a miracle for that to say so specifically.
And who's saying all this? Other people. What about God? You know, she's just way too desperate. Where's the witness of the Spirit of God? You know, is he saved? She's praying for it. Well, but that hasn't taken place. She's just way premature. She's not sound in her thinking. By the way, God does answer. He does say yes at times, and he says no. And sometimes he says wait. Wait. Those are all legitimate answers. So it's not that God didn't answer my prayers. No, he did answer. Do you see? She's not seeing this as an answer. And she put the conditions of what she wants. It's all what she wants.
So many people have done things similar to that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that is how you are to discern the will of God. That's my point. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you should discern the will of God by just opening up something, whether it's the scriptures, and just seeing where your eyes land. That is not scriptural. I'm not saying that God cannot ever use something like that, but the method is incorrect. If you wanted a sign, why didn't you do what Gideon did? If you're going to be into fleeces, then do something that is totally supernatural. This can be too coincidental. Yeah, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I've got a big decision to make. If I'm supposed to do this, don't say, then let the phone ring in the next 5 minutes. Instead, say, okay, let's see, now it's 98 degrees. Okay, let there be 3 inches of snow. Now you're dealing with something supernatural. Just a thought. If you're going to be into fleeces, I don't recommend fleeces. In fact, the scripture says we are not to put God to the test. So that's against the will of God. That's against the word of God. Instead, we are to be dependent on the Spirit of God who indwells every true believer. And then when you have that walk of dependence, you're not looking for outward signs. That indicates a weak faith. When you say you've lost hope, lose hope in those types of things. Lose hope in signs. Instead, put your hope in your relationship with the Lord, that when the time is right, he will fulfill his will for you.
And he will fulfill his will for you when you're willing to hear his will and wait for him to give you that peace.
This has been Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. We heard today that our decisions and expectations sometimes don't line up with God's word and with his best for our lives. Find out how God reveals his will, plus so much more with our Keys for Living on this topic. Just go to hopefortheheart.org. Of course, if you missed any of this program, get out your phone, go to your app store, and download the Hope for the Heart broadcast app. Now let's hear from June one more time.
Making decisions based on mere expectations of ourselves or expectations of others is unwise. It sets us up to be disappointed, even disillusioned. That's not to say that we shouldn't consider the impact of our decisions on ourselves and others. We should always weigh the cost of our choices. To choose a course of action based on the expectation that it will bring about some desired outcome is not the basis on which God wants us to make decisions. Our decisions are to be led by God, not by our self-centered desires. Decision-making is an exercise in trusting God and choosing to follow him.
Well, we pray that today's program has given you tools that you can use as you face decisions in life. Remember that you can get a free download on this topic, plus other life-giving resources, when you visit hopefortheheart.org. Hope for the Heart is here to help you with a biblical foundation and to provide practical tools as you navigate the challenges, the hurts, the habits, and the struggles in life. We're also here to help you help others. Listen to this message.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common: a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people, connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Well, Lifeline to Hope is a great course. And can you imagine what your church and community would look like with Lifeline to Hope caregivers?
That website again is lifelinetohope.org. For June Hunt, I'm Joe Wolf. Thank you so much for joining us today. And remember that there is hope, no matter the circumstance. Meet us back here tomorrow for more of this hope, right here on Hope for the Heart.